got an opinion and he's not afraid to share it. Now, sharing his lunch? That's a different story. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Hi, everybody. I'm back. And it turns out we spend about only a few billion dollars on unnecessary screening tests every year. My guest today is Dr. Cynthia Smith. She's Senior Physician Educator of Medical Education with the American College of Physicians. It's her job to teach doctors how to be doctors, and she's trying to teach us this new concept of less is more. Ordering less tests is actually providing better care. Welcome to the show, Dr. Smith.
Thank you for having me.
So one of your recent articles, you talk about stress testing. I'd say at least once a week, someone comes in the office and says, Doc, I want a stress test. My wife says I need a stress test. And I try to tell them, you know, you're not having any symptoms. There's no need for the stress test. It's not going to help us guide care, and that you can pass a stress test and even have a 75 to 80% blocked artery. They don't like to hear that, but I tell them that. And I try and talk them out of the stress test, but it's very difficult. They want one. Their wife wants one. They want peace of mind, and they think this mythical stress test is going to give them that peace of mind. So how can we teach our asymptomatic patients that the stress test is of no benefit to them?
Well, I think I like the use of the word mythical that you used. I use the word magical because I feel like both physicians and patients have developed over the years this magical belief in medical technology, that not only is it magically diagnostic, but some people actually believe that getting the test in and of itself is therapeutic.
Right.
So understanding
many
and starting
many
from
therapeutic
that point,
MRIs. I've ordered
that's
many
right,
a therapeutic
exactly.
CAT scan and MRI.
And I think, you know, we really do tend to overestimate the value of these testing, these tests that we often order, and underestimate the harms and costs. And when I talk about costs, I'm not just talking about dollars and cents, but the opportunity cost that it takes for the patient to take the day off of work or the day away from taking care of their kids to go to the test, and then all the anxiety that comes around the false positive rates of the test, which we often do not talk about.
So tell my audience what the data shows. Tell them that there is no evidence that doing this stress test is going to extend their life. They don't want to hear that, but please tell me that.
Right. So there is no direct evidence that identifying and treating screen-detected coronary artery disease that's asymptomatic will decrease mortality or improve patients who don't have a history of heart disease. So there's no evidence that even if you find something and act on it, that you're going to improve patient outcomes. And there is evidence of harm for
right, so
screening asymptomatic people.
So
and
what
I
is
find,
the harm? What are we doing to them by getting a false positive? Take us through an example of the hideous events that occur once you have a positive stress test.
Right. Well, I think one statistic which is really helpful, when I'm a practicing general internist, and when I talk to my patients about this, that the false positive rate for this test in a low-risk person can be as high as 71%. That
wow.
means 71% of people who have the test may end up with a false positive result, meaning that it comes out positive, but they don't actually have coronary artery disease. So they're labeled with a diagnosis that they may not have, and that also makes them have to go for further testing. And though the stress test in and of itself has a really low rate of complications, it's about 1 in 10,000, when you do further testing, such as a cardiac catheterization, which is more invasive, the major harms associated with that affect 170 in 10,000 patients. So significantly higher, yeah.
Well, so how does one still convince the patient, or how does one just say no? No, you know what? No, I am not doing that test for you. Even, you know,
yeah.
you tell them the data, and they're still like, I don't care, doctor. I want the test. You kind of have to do it.
Right. I think saying no is good. I think finding out specifically what that individual patient is most concerned about, there's pretty good evidence that doctors, we make a lot of assumptions about our patient, but until we specifically ask them what they're concerned about or what their spouse is specifically concerned about, it's really hard to say no in a meaningful way. If you just say no, I'm not going to do it, they'll find another provider who will order the test. But in order to really encourage that therapeutic relationship, you need to know what's driving their request. And once you know that, then you can pull the statistics and the data that will help back you up, and you can have a more emotional argument, too, coming up with a plan together.
Right. So there's two parts of our brain, the emotional and the logical. The emotional usually wins. So you're saying appeal to the emotional and not the logical part of the brain. You have to have that conversation, which takes a long time, and it might be easier for the doctor to just say, okay, fine, here's the stress test.
Right.
He's only got 12 minutes.
Right. It's interesting, though, because I do this a lot in my practice, and we've actually done some videotapes which are available on our website, and it doesn't take that much more time than you think, particularly when you get straight to the heart of the matter, which is, what are you concerned about? What are you afraid is there? What are you afraid we're going to discover? Or, you're worried that you have. It actually makes it a much more efficient encounter in a lot of ways. And then you save time on the back end because you're not chasing down abnormal test results, calling patients, and ordering follow-up testing. Because that downstream testing, like I said, has a lot of monetary but also personal costs associated with it.
Can you share any of the numbers of the dollars that are spent doing this unnecessary screening test in someone who's not having symptoms, who's just wants this test?
I don't have a strict dollar amount on that, but I do know that the Institute of Medicine has estimated that over $700 billion is spent every year in unnecessary testing and treatments in this country. So it's a big
$700 billion.
Over $700 billion annually.
And that sounds like a big number, Dr. Smith.
It is a big number. There are several different buckets of that number. About $350 billion annually is the bucket of unnecessary tests and treatments. Then there are problems with provider errors and lack of care coordination, which are other things that we're working on. But really getting at that low-hanging fruit of unnecessary tests and treatments that don't improve patient outcomes. That's really the crux of the matter. It's not about saving money. It's about spending the time doing the things that are actually going to make our patients better.
And would most doctors say, well, I'm doing this because I'm afraid of getting sued? Do they use that as an excuse?
I hear that often. But interestingly, in the survey work that we've done, the bigger driver is just this discomfort with diagnostic uncertainty. So it seems to me providers sort of share that magical belief that the testing is going to give them the answer or allay their fears. So they want to do the right thing for the patient. And so I think this is why I think that provider and patient sort of co-education on this may have a real impact.
So tell me again where anybody can go on the website and watch those videos. They sound pretty interesting.
Yes. So our website is pulling it up here. It's if you just Google high-value care, you can find it, but it's hvc.acponline.org, and that will take you all those videos and all the educational materials that we've developed. They're both patient and provider educational materials are available for free to the public. So anyone can go on that website and download whatever they want.
Great. My guest has been Dr. Cynthia Smith from the American College of Physicians, and she is trying to help both doctor and patient save a little money. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic. Never let anyone else do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends.